This is so stupid.
It's crazy, like, how on top of tech and all this shit we have to be.
I know, it really is. The latest Rode mics, lav mics, make sure the quality of the sound's good.
I'll shoot shit and then go to check it. I'm like, sound's not good, lighting's not good. I have to reshoot.
The lighting is big. I did an episode recently with no lights, thinking whatever. Bad. Didn't put it out. Anyways, James Coburn, thanks for being on Tori's Stupid Podcast. I'm so happy to have you on, fellow comedian and content creator. Your video's been blowing up.
And friend.
Yeah, oh, sorry. Well, I was going to get into that.
Sorry.
You're like, what the fuck? Yeah, some strangers in my house. No, and we go way back. We met, such a funny story, we met through my friend Darcy, who I met on Bumble, and we dated for a brief period of time. And then I was doing the industry room at Broadway Comedy Club, and Darcy was like, I have a comedian friend. You should run your set past him. And James, sweet James, saved my life. I sent him the worst script ever. It was like, I rode horses. And you're like, yeah, just stick to what you normally do. And then I completely changed my set. And I think the reason I did okay on the industry room was because you helped me. And then I ended up working there for years. And then I went on tour with Troy Bond because I met him at Broadway. So I think I owe my comedy career to you. So yeah, thank you so much, James Coburn.
Or to Darcy.
Thank you, Bumble.
To Bumble.
Yeah, this is so just funny. An ad
for Bumble.
This is, yeah, no. I mean, it's funny. Bumble has been weird for me. I have guys in my life that have stayed around me because of content creation and comedy, but they were started as like a date.
Right.
But the only people that stick around are like, well, yeah, it's just been, yeah, I don't use Bumble for dating. I use it for moments like this.
Yeah.
Look at us now. So thanks for being on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. We met before the pandemic hit, and then the pandemic hit. You went back to Australia, and I was like, damn, when are we going to hang out? And then you started doing your, you had a really good sketch show. I thought it was really good. You did a video about ants that really cracked me up.
Yeah.
What was that called?
Little Bitty Bits.
Yes.
And I'm so happy that you called it really good.
I really like them.
It's funny. Every now and then, there'll be someone from like different parts of my life be like, you know, that shit you were doing during the pandemic, that was funny.
Yes. Those are the real ones.
Because like at that time, I had like no followers. I was, you know, COVID. I was just like trying something with my best friend, Sam. And they got like, funnily enough, I actually looked back on them the other day and they've got like no views.
And is that on your YouTube?
No, just on Instagram.
You should grow your YouTube.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I definitely should. And they've got like no views. And I was watching them like, damn, these were good.
They were. You should repost them.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Yeah.
I'd probably have to cross check with my with my best friend Sam. He's a high school teacher.
They were appropriate though.
For sure. Yeah. I think, and he'd be totally fine with it.
I feel like all your content is actually quite appropriate. You don't curse?
Yeah. I mean, my stand-up stuff, there's a bit of sexual, you know, vulgarity going on.
Your bowling bit is one of my favorite. Check out James's, you put your whole hour out, right?
Yeah.
It's on YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
So good. I think
it's been about 6 months now since I put it out.
And how's the viewership on that?
Good. I think it's almost at 25,000 views.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Which is like really, which really means a lot. Because like, say, because like, I make dumb little videos on Instagram, right? So say I put out like a 20-second video and I have my following and I'm like, all right, there, people are going to like enjoy this. It'll get like, say I'm like, oh, it'll get like 100,000 views and anything less, I'm not going to be content with. And it gets like 40,000 and I'm like, fuck. And so like, if... like a 20-second video was to get like 40,000, I'd be like upset with it, right? But to have like, I think it's like a 54-minute piece, to have that get like thousands and thousands is pretty special. And like, it actually didn't sink in with me until like, you know, like a week's passed. I think it had like 10,000 views or something like that. It obviously slows down heaps,
right,
but I think it had like 10,000 views, and in my head I was still thinking like Instagram mentality. I was like, 10,000, and then I'm like, no, that's like 10,000 people that have like dedicated, dedicated like an hour of their like week
yes.
to like just checking that out.
Mm-hmm. Because the YouTube doesn't count the view until it's the end, right? Or towards the end?
I think definitely has to be like a larger portion of the video.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Thanks.
Does it make you want to get into stand-up more when people are viewing that and enjoying it?
At the time, it did give me a bit of a buzz. I think when I posted it, I hadn't performed for a year and a half or something. Okay. Because it's approaching 2 years since I've done stand-up.
No way.
So when I put that out, and I wasn't going to put it out, but when I did put it out, I was like, oh, it's a bit of a buzz, this. And then I sort of like got over it. But I do have the urge at the moment.
Yeah, you're a really good stand-up comedian.
Thank you.
Yes, I always found you very funny. I remember we went to Brittany Cardwell's show at Fetty Sal. And we just went to go watch. And then she was like, do you want to do a spot? And you went up in there and just crushed for 5 minutes straight. And I was like, no, you did. You did. I remember being very impressed. It was very good.
Okay.
And I was like, damn. And then now you've clearly poured your time into content creation. But and I'm sure there's like in real life, it's like you're getting laughs in the moment. But there's like some sort of, you know, similarity with getting likes and feedback online. That
right.
Also is that instant like gratification.
I was actually speaking to someone about this the other day. It's like there is a lot of, because I was actually speaking to someone about, oh, I'm getting like the urge to do stand-up again. And then I was saying this to my friend who's a stand-up, and I was like, I think I'll just suck. Like, I think I'll just be shit at it. Like, and then he was like, well, I don't think so. Like, it's sort of probably, there's probably a bit of like a just like riding a bike aspect to it, right? Like, surely, of course, you're going to have to get back into it.
Yeah.
But it is probably just like riding a bike. You're probably just going to have to freshen up. But he's like, also, what you've been doing isn't like too dissimilar. And then I was like, you know what? That's like, it's quite true. Because I remember like, there's times where like, and this doesn't happen too much anymore just because I've sort of found my feet with the content. But at the like first few months of, because I was like posting every day and like I was like trying to find what concepts work. I remember I started posting this one concept where I was like dressed like a young child with like a backwards cap and like speaking like a child. And I remember watching it and just going, wow, this is dumb as fuck. And just being like, I can't post this.
Yeah,
like, this is just so stupid. I think it's funny, but I think it's funny, but no one else is going to like this. And I remember at the time being like, oh, it's just like throwing out a new joke.
Yeah.
Seeing if it sticks.
Yeah.
And it did not stick at all. I posted 7 of them.
Uh-huh.
At the time, I was like, all right, if I introduce a new concept, I'm going to post 6 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that works out to be like, that spans over like 2 or 3 weeks. And if by 6, they're just not getting any views, I'm just scrapping them. So I think I posted like 6 or 7 of them and not one single one like got anywhere near the amount of views of the other concepts I was putting out. And I remember being like, oh, this is like bombing.
Yeah.
This is like bombing.
No, it hurts. No, I'm not to cut you off, but I will do well on stage and then I'll clip it and I'll put it on my Instagram and it'll get like 3,000 views. And I'm like, I didn't bomb in the moment, but this hurts.
Yeah.
This bomb hurts, and it's in front of a larger audience that I grew up with that know me from high school. So the bomb sinks in deep. You're like, oh, this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah, especially early on. Like, it's hard to, like, and just, like, stand up. Like, after the first few times, like, and, you know, like, a lot of people will say that's what being good at stand-up is. It's, like, getting used to, like, bombing and experimenting and just keep moving forward. So I sort of got used to it, but like those first few, just like, wow, like so many people saw that and like hated it.
Yeah.
Like, what these numbers are telling me is everyone fucking hated it.
Yeah. Well, that was before you had a following.
Yeah. This was like a few months or like a couple months in, maybe a few months in. And like,
when did you start posting?
February 28th, last year.
Last year. So it's just been a year.
Been about 4
and that's
months.
Committing every day to posting.
At the start was 6 days a week, and then a couple months in, I went to every day, and then for like 9 months or something, it was every day.
Wow.
And then And then I changed a few months ago to every second day because it was okay. Just
because then once you get them, they get a little beat up, right? Like you're like, oh, I don't want people oh, not this guy again, even if they find you funny.
I think that's exactly what happened. Like, you know, I'd be like busting my ass to post every day.
Uh-huh.
And then sometimes it'd be like, a rerun and I'd just chop it up differently or like use a different bit of footage so it is a different video, mm-hmm. but essentially it's the same.
Concept.
And I think, and they were getting views and stuff, but my new followers to unfollow ratio was dropping.
Mm-hmm. Like, I hate seeing like I was numbers. Getting
followers, but a lot of people were dropping off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I can't have, why are people dropping off? It's just like, well, because you're just inundating their feed mm-hmm. with just like, not the same shit, but like, yeah. just like nothing crazy different or yeah. good or creative. And then I'm like, hey man, I actually spoke to my dad. My dad's beautiful. He takes such interest in what I do, which I'm very lucky for. And he used to work in marketing and he was like, why wouldn't you, he's like, I know you've got this whole post every day thing, but screw it. He's like, mm-hmm. step back and like, look at all your analytics and see what works and start doing that. Mm-hmm. And I figured out two things that worked and started posting, like catering to those two things.
What are the two things?
It was, and this is going to sound mean. And this isn't why I do what I do, but is anything that nitpicks on customers,
yeah.
like whether they're being entitled, impatient, rude, privileged without recognizing it, anything that nitpicks on customers, and then anything that was in like, that was like a two character restaurant scenario.
Okay.
And then if you put that nitpicking of customers
with a two person
in the format of a two or more characters, and
it's you talking scenario. To someone yourself, but it's like the okay, yeah, because you're the only one that's ever in your videos, right?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done, yeah,
okay. And you like doing that, you want to keep that going?
Oh, I'm speaking to a couple of people about like some collaborations right now, but like, and I do want to do it, it's mm-hmm. just easier, like yeah. to not have to factor in anyone else, yeah, and to do everything on your own time, yeah,
yeah. Does it take you a long time to make these videos or have you gotten it down to like a science?
It does now, but that's okay. Because at the start I was like focusing on like, how do I like, what's like a nice format to put out in bulk? So it doesn't exhaust me. So mm-hmm. I can shoot in bulk. I can write in bulk, shoot in bulk, edit in bulk, and it doesn't exhaust me. And that started well, like, but when I started noticing the drop off of followers or mm-hmm. just like the lack of growth as opposed to like the first few months, I was like, okay, I don't think that style is working for you anymore. I think now you need to be giving your followers something yeah. much better. And to do that, you need to put more time in. So for example, it used to take me like half an hour to shoot 6 videos, which is no time at all. And then to edit them would take about 30 to 40 minutes per video.
Yeah, okay.
And now it takes me about 2 hours to shoot 4. So it's about half an hour to shoot 1. And then it takes me about 2.5 to 3 hours to edit 1.
That makes sense with the way you're putting out less and you're just getting better. So it seems to work.
And like, I don't regret how I started out.
No, yeah.
What it taught me was like discipline and accountability. Like there were days where I'm like, I can't be fucked today. Like I can't, I'm not posting. And that would have been fine, but I like stayed on top of it. I, like every day I managed to be like, no, come on now. So I don't regret it at all. It taught me how to stay to routine, how to like push through those, like the more grinding times.
Yeah.
And, how to just sort of, I guess just work ethic with it. Like I'm a pretty like, I've been a pretty lazy person since growing up.
Though working in the industry when you did like, you had to wake up early and show up at a restaurant and put in the work and like your client facing, customer facing. So it's like you can't be lazy. So
yeah,
I think you're not giving yourself credit for all that time you would put in.
Yeah. Well, during my time in restaurants for those shifts, 4 or 5 shifts a week, I wasn't lazy, but I feel like anything outside of that.
Got it. Well, cause you would put all your energy there.
True.
And you would be left with much more.
That's honestly a big reason why I stopped doing stand-up was because I was like, oh, I can't.
It's a lot
like,
of plates in the air.
I don't, cause I think you tell yourself that you can do everything, but I was like, I'm working like 5 days in a restaurant. And then, but then also like, trying to like do stand up and then like, oh, thinking about like, should I be making content as well? But then also trying to stay on top of your health and like speak to your family and like,
yeah.
or, and you know, feed yourself and pay your bills and stuff like that. Yeah. So
yeah,
honestly, a huge reason why I stepped away from
it. And I felt that this week I had shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then I also had to be in my office Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then Thursday I had a work event in Connecticut and I got back and I just was like, oh my God. Cause I was out until midnight every night. And, it really takes it out of you. Like I've ignored text. I've barely been able to get emails out today. I'm just spent.
Yeah. You've been doing that for years though now.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly impressive.
Thank you so much. Yeah, That's very kind.
To the point, and I mean this as the greatest compliment, to the point where I don't know how you do it. And of course you're not the only one. It's like, that's how you have to do it in New York.
Yeah.
But, watching from afar, it's very impressive.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I will say when I was touring a lot in 2023 and having a day job, I honestly, when people ask how do you do that, I'm like, I have no idea.
Well, I remember when the last time you and I got a drink, what was that, a couple months ago? Mm-hmm. And I think was it then when I asked you like, wait, you're still working? Like I see you touring with Troy and doing your own shit and I'm, you know, like you think, oh, is there money coming in and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. So when I asked you and you said, no, I'm still 9 to 5, like full time. I was like, what? Like, that's crazy. Because you were doing so much.
Thanks. I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah.
It is a lot. Yeah. It is a lot. And when they added, it used to just be Tuesdays, Wednesdays at the office. And I was like, whatever, that's fine. And then I was touring and then they were like, okay, Thursday. And I was like, fuck, that's like when you tour. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. And I just kind of put my head down and was like, I hope no one notices. And then my boss sat me down and was like, dude, you got to be at the office. And
you were sort of like, I hope no one notices I'm not in the office.
Yeah. Like I was at the airport once and I accidentally turned my camera on during a meeting. And it was like, just like the toilet. And I was like, my bad. And they were like, dude. So I definitely, they were very patient with me. They've added more to my plate at work. So I really can't do what I used to do. But also Troy brings other people along and it's been way more balanced. So I'll still go on the road with him sometimes, but it's just not what it used to be, which is fine. That was a crazy year that was great, but it was not sustainable. I mean,
in so many ways. If you didn't have the full-time job though, would it be something that you'd still want to be doing?
Yes. Right. I love touring. It is the most exciting thing. The people, just, I love being in new cities. My favorite thing to do is go to the coffee shop in like the local town and pick a cool spot and just go sit and write. It became like my like favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
And I just loved being, I love traveling. I mean, now seeing all the flights and stuff, I'm like, oh God, like it's like a miracle if you make it. So
yeah.
I know that's dramatic, but it's just interesting to see, you know, air traffic these days is kind of fucked. But I'm going on the road next week with Chloe LeBranch. We're going to two comedy zones, one in Charlotte and one in Greenville. And I'm excited for that. But I like looked at the flight time. It was like hour 25. I was like, I can survive.
I think you will.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, but I'm getting back out there and I'm excited. So comes That's in good. Waves.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks. But you said you wanted to get back into stand-up? I will say, it's funny when you said it's like riding a bike. It's so crazy because I'll hear like big comics say, oh, I haven't gone up in like 2 days. And I'm like, fuck you. And then I won't go up for a week. And I'm like, well, fuck, I'm rusty. Like, it's really, as much as you'd like to think it's like riding a bike, it is in some ways. But it is like, every time I get on stage, I think to myself, what am I going to say?
Yeah.
Every time.
Well, now I feel horrible about doing it again.
No, sorry. That's not my point. I mean, I'm preparing you mentally.
You're exactly right. I remember not going on stage for like a week and just being like, what do I do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like someone offers you a gig and you're like, do I take this? Like, I haven't gone to do anything for a bit.
Yeah. And I like to lean in on that saying, like, you wouldn't get the opportunity if you didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
And you're kind of just like, Godspeed.
Yeah.
I mean, I've definitely had moments where I'm like, I've had, okay, so for example, I was last minute, day of, asked to open for Shannon Middleton. She's like a reality TV star and new to comedy, but selling out, you know, and it was at City Winery. Main room sold out, and they're like, you want to come open up the room? Because I knew her manager, and I was like, oh, who features for her? And she's like, oh, she just goes out there. And I was like, that's not how stand-up works. And they were like, really? So I was like, yeah, I'll host and feature. So I did it. And then I'm in the room. I'm like, it's like a really nice venue. It's like all these like girls out for like wine with Shannon Middleton. And then I'm up there like, did you fuck your dog? And then I'm like, oh my God. Like, I was like, I gotta fucking look in the mirror and realize like, you gotta have different sets. And I definitely polished it as much as I could in the moment, but I was at work all day. I ran home, changed, and then ran to the venue. And I was just like, oh my God, this isn't my usual dirty club scene. And Troy, God bless him, but he'll say some crazy shit on stage. So I've gotten really used to just being like, fuck it. Let's give him a show. And I definitely gave those girls a little more than they needed, but
you did well.
I did well. Yeah, it went really well, but there were definitely a few jokes that I'm like, oh, they don't want to hear about dropping babies. Mm. I was like, that's upsetting to them.
I'm glad you did what you were used to doing, though.
Despite like you always taught me that. Yeah.
What was
like
that?
Stick to what you know.
Yeah. But I think just in general, the mark of like the best comedy these days is authentic comedy.
Yeah, that's so,
so
true.
It's just like, so I think even if you did like, you know, an hour out from the show, be like, fuck, I better do some different shit. Like, not so crazy.
Yeah.
They're probably going to be able to tell that you're not doing, and it may have worked out worse for you.
That's so true. Thank you for that. It's beautiful.
I think if I was at something like that and some comedian came out just saying wild shit, I'd be like, that's cool.
Thanks. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I think it went well overall. There were some big people in the audience too. This girl, her name's Claudia, I'm blanking on her last name, but her handle is Girl With No Job. She's got a couple million followers on Instagram. And she took an Instagram story of me walking off and hugging Shannon. And I was like, damn, I've followed you for years. If I knew she was in the balcony, I would have shit my pants. So it was cool overall, but definitely a moment of like, okay, you got a little work to do professionally. Instead of just being like, I'm wild and crazy.
Yeah.
Like, my audience will find me. It's like, no, you're going to find yourself in front of other people's audiences for a long time before you have yours. So try to, like, you know, be a little, versatile.
But, hey, getting asked to do it day of, working your job, then going to do it, and still coming out on top. And all you have to say is, I've got some work to do. Like, that's pretty awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, appreciate
that. Sounds like you nailed it.
Thank you. It's funny, I had to go manage Greenwich after that too. And I went from like this huge stage to like a tiny little basement after. I was like, back to where I usually am.
Where at?
Greenwich Village.
You went from City Winery to Greenwich Village.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I know. What's funny, Usama Siddiqui actually did the Colbert show. And then later that night he walks into Greenwich. I was like, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm working. I was like, okay.
That is so crazy to me.
Right? Yeah, I was like, you just did the Tonight Show. Why aren't you out, like, licking caviar off a stripper's boobs? And he was like, I'm working. This is how I get better. I was really impressed.
He's already great.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's respectable and admirable. Totally. He's already fantastic.
Yeah. Isn't that nuts? Mm-hmm. That was crazy. Like, I was like, what are you doing here? Yeah.
It's good from doing Stephen Colbert to a black room with a pillar in the middle of it.
Yep.
To like, what, five people? Like,
yeah.
Five or six tourists. Fantastic.
There was like 20 people there, but yeah. Yeah, good times. Comedy will take you to the highest highs and the weirdest lows. Mm. But the lows often are like, you're like, okay, this is kind of fun in a fucked up way.
I remember when I first moved here to do, and like, you know, I'd started stand-up in Melbourne. And I moved here, and I remember my first ever mic. So, like, first ever show in New York. So, it was just a mic in, like... Was that a place called Muchmore's? I don't know if it's around anymore. It was at a time when I didn't know my way around. Like, if I walked past... If this bar still exists and I walked past it, wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
This was, like, 8 years ago or whatever. And I remember, like, it was, like, a bucket. And there was, like, 60 people there. I don't know if they were rigging it or not. But I got pulled out, like... I think like third last or something like that. So by that stage, there was like five people in the room. Mm. Everyone was fed up.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a bucket that started at 6 and ended at like 8:30. It started at like 9. Mm. So this was like close to midnight. And I did like 3 minutes to like four or five other comedians that hated that they were still there. and did my good shit too. Because I was like, hey, be easy on yourself, man. Do all your good material from Melbourne that was getting laughs.
Uh-huh.
And like didn't get anything.
Yeah.
And... And I remember being on the train home. It was like an hour to get to where I was staying or something. And I had to be up at like 5:30 to go open the restaurant I was working in or the cafe I was working in. So it was technically a low, right? It was technically a low point, but I remember being on the train and just went, this is fucking awesome.
I love that.
So even the lows are like...
Totally.
Don't get me wrong. Like, there are low lows. Like, well, there's genuine lows as well.
And if you were to be in that position today, you would hate your life. Yeah. I love that you said that, because I was just telling someone the other day, I was like, when I sat people at Broadway, it was like the best nights of my life. I'm like, I'm at Broadway Comedy Club. I'm getting on stage. Like, this is so fun. Like, I would like dance around after like to the music and like cleaning the tables. Like, how lucky am I? And it's like, I want to bottle that up and like remember that everywhere I go, because you'll get these big moments and then you're like, all right, I could work on that joke and this joke. But it's like, come on. Like, yeah, you just get so used to what you're used to and then you take it for granted. I'm sure maybe you see that with like growing online, where you're like, okay, I'm at 50,000, but I want to get to 100, and then you get to 100, and then I want another 100. And
yeah, I actually found myself the other day stressing about growth and following, and like not exactly being where I wanted to be. And I had, and everyone stresses about that.
Yeah.
And it's at times it's good to stress about that, because it's like it helps you want to be better, and like it helps you be better. But I had a moment where, but it was doing my head in, and like, it got to a point where it wasn't healthy. It wasn't doing me any good. And I had to remind myself. I was like, hey, why do you do this?
Yeah. That's really important.
And I was like, when I first started out, I wrote like mission statements to myself for why I'm going to make content.
What was one of your mission statements?
The main one is to give a voice to restaurant staff that I feel like so often are poorly treated.
It's huge.
And another one is to highlight entitlement and lack of people that don't recognize their privilege. Because, there's other ones that relate just to me. To give myself a better life, to try and make money, to give myself a better life, to maybe use it to get back into stand-up, to just have a creative outlet. Mm-hmm. Like, they are also things I've written down, but the main reasons were, in the content itself, was to, like, give a voice to restaurant staff that I think are so often poorly treated. And, you know, that's what I did for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, like, I see it. I'm not just like, I think restaurant staff are poorly treated. It's like, no, I see this.
Yeah, you've experienced it.
Yeah, and, but... And then along with the poor treatment, and it's not everyone.
Right.
Customers are great.
Yeah.
so many of them. But also to like highlight lack of recognition of privilege and highlight entitlement, because there's nothing I can't stand more than someone that's like complaining about eggs. Complaining about fucking eggs in like Soho, New York.
Yeah.
Just without the like ability to like just look around and realize that how incredibly privileged they are to even be sitting at a restaurant and ordering eggs.
Can you make merch?
surrounding everything I just said.
Yes.
But like to not have the ability to recognize that, and to not have the awareness that if they were to walk half a block, there'd be someone asking them for money because they don't have anything.
Right.
And in my time in restaurants, that was like, because there'd be restaurant stuff going on where you're like, oh my God, I fucked up that order, or like someone forgot to run this. But my main irk was always that. It was like not people not having the awareness.
Do you have a bio on your Instagram that encompasses any of that?
Like in the little...
You don't want to shove it down their throats?
No, I'll just make my dumb videos.
I don't know. I said that to you when we got drinks, where I was like, I think it's an amazing thing, because I think it's so important for people to understand etiquette at a restaurant and to look someone in the eyes and say thank you and understand how lucky they are to be there and just not be an asshole. So I just think what you're doing is bigger than your silly little videos. And if you were to able to like brand it so that people can kind of come to you and understand.
It's a really good idea. Yeah. I think I've just got restaurant stuff.
Uh-huh.
So maybe if I...
I think you could be like, don't be an asshole. Like, are your eggs cold? People are starving in Africa.
True.
Something like that. I love the whole thing about, like, are your eggs cold? Like, oh, do you have a roof over your head? Like, do you have people that love you? Like, fuck you.
I think it's a fine line between, like, I don't want to pity anyone totally. Either. Like, I don't, if someone's unhoused and, like, you know, they're a human at the end of the day. Like, I don't want to pity them. So it's like, that's where I struggle with, like, what's the best way to, like, convey this?
I think it's all about, I mean, at the core of it, it's gratitude and people needing to understand what they should be grateful for. And
yeah.
Like, I don't think you have to highlight anything about people that don't have those things. Just highlight people that do have them and how they should be grateful for them. And
right.
Not be rude. Like, that's at the end of the day, like, don't be rude.
There was one, I did a video a couple months ago that was like, it was just something like me standing there. It's like, this is my impression of someone that doesn't understand how fucked the world is. It was basically encompassing everything I just said.
Mm-hmm.
And I step back and I'm just like, is my coffee ready? And I think that's like, I've never thought about this until you just sort of brought that up. But I think that's like a perfect like embodiment of like maybe like what I'm trying to do.
Totally. And also as someone that also has had moments of, let's say I'm getting a coffee and there's like too much oat milk in it. And I'm like, it's like, you're fine. What is the problem? Yeah, it's going to taste extra good. So like, fuck you. Say thank you to the person and say, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And be happy that you have a cold brew in your hand. And I've had those moments where I'll walk away and I'm like, God damn it, this isn't what I wanted. And then I'm like, no, I'm walking through Soho. I'm holding a coffee. How lucky am I? So
great. And so many people like will be like, you know, because I like to read some comments and like there's often like a lot of people in comments being like, yeah, well, and they have that whole mentality of like, yeah, but if you're the one spending the money, you should get what you want. It's like, yo, shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shut the fuck up. It's like, you do have a point, but at the end of the day, like, and God, if that's how you sleep at night, then great.
That's your mentality.
Go get your coffee. Go tell that barista that they fucked up your coffee. If that's what makes you happy, then do that. But like, yeah, I think there's just a better life to live than that.
I agree.
But yeah, I had a moment the other day where I was like, I think I would rather be on more, I'd rather have more followers right now. I'd rather be doing this. I'd rather be doing that. Or like, I'm not as far along as what I wanted to be. And I had a moment where I was like, hey, why are you doing this, dude? Like, and I had to be like, you're doing it because, you know, everything we've just spoken about. I read over my like notes and stuff. And funnily enough, the video I had scheduled for that day was, a video about customers asking a server, what do you do outside of this? Do you study? Do you have,
I saw that
do you
video. Have a real job? Yeah. What's your real job? Yeah. Yeah.
And it, not only did it, get a lot of views, which is always a nice feeling, but it had so many restaurant heads write in and being like, yeah, I've been asked this question so many times and it's the worst. And it's just like, why can't I just work in a restaurant? Like, why? I love it. Mm-hmm. Like, I love working. I think that was in the video too. It's like me saying, I like working. I like doing this. Like, can't I just keep doing this? Like, and so many people writing in just being like, yeah, I get asked this all the time. I'm like a 40-year-old barista and I absolutely adore this job and I have kids and I have savings and I'm not in debt and I make more money than my friend that works in an office doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And so funnily enough, like not only did I like have a freak out and then like try and ground myself and read over all my notes about why I'm doing it, that video went out the same day and all the feedback coming in was like, hey, yeah, like this is why.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was really nice.
Also, just as someone watching that, it's such a reminder of like, and this is actually full circle. When I was dating Darcy, I remember being like, so what's your goal? Like, what are your goals? And I was like kind of pushing him and like, cause he was a bartender. And I had that mentality that was very close-minded. I was like, you know, I grew up, I went to college. I came here to like work in advertising and I didn't do stand up yet. And I was just kind of like young and stupid. And I just was like, well, what's your big plan? And he was like very put off. And I remember being like, oh fuck. And it's like, you got to grow up and understand. It's like, that's like people do different things and it doesn't mean it's right or it's wrong. And it's a great job. And it's like, we're all living our own lives. And now that I'm doing stand up and watching my friends get married and have kids, and I'm sure they're looking at me like, well, what is she doing? It's like, I'm having fun. You're having fun with that. I'm having fun with this. Like, it's such a good reminder. And I think that's important.
I think it just goes down to whether you're happy or not.
Yeah.
Darcy could bartend the shit out of a bar, though. He was so good. I don't think he does it anymore. But
I don't know what he's up to. We got to ask him.
But, and this is no exaggeration, there would be bartenders in New York, and I'm sure in other parts of the US. It's different where I'm from in Australia, because you don't work on tips, you work on, like, a healthy hourly, right? But because of the tipping system, there would be bartenders in New York that would work 3 nights a week that would probably make over $100,000 a year.
Easy.
3 nights a week.
No, I see numbers at Greenwich.
That's no exaggeration.
Yeah.
And you're telling me they're not happy?
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, if it's not what they want to do, they might not be happy. But right. Like, if it's what they want to do, they're working 3 nights a week. They have, 5 days to themselves, 4 nights to themselves.
Yeah. Like, no, I have a friend that works at the clubs, and she's part-time. She has a full-day job, and she pulls thousands of dollars a year. And I'm like, this is a great job.
I know someone that works full-time. I think it's, like, in museums and stuff. And that's what she wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
But she was bartending before that, and she stayed bartending, still bartends one night a week. And I remember talking to her, and she's like, I'm so busy with the full-time job. And I'm like, why do you still bartend? She's like, the money's too good mm-hmm. for one night. One night a week, she's like, I make more bartending than I do for my whole week in my full-time job.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's wild.
It really is. Damn. Sorry, I wanted to ask you about, going back to, like, for your following on Instagram and how you're growing, I wanted to ask you, so you also have your TikTok.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, like, you've said so many great whys as to why you do it outside of these other external factors, but let's say your Instagram growth was the same rate as your TikTok growth, would you still be putting in this kind of work?
It'd be very hard. It'd be very hard to convince myself to keep going.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that I think that what I'm doing isn't important.
No.
It'd just be really hard. Because, yeah. Like, ultimately, to keep doing what I'm doing and to, like, keep trying to, like, have a voice and have, like, a mission and all that, there has to be, like, success, right?
Totally.
And, like, eventually, you know, you hope to make money. Mm-hmm. So then you can do more.
Yeah.
And then you can help more. You can help people more, or you can do more with your voice.
Yeah.
I
think you need a new TikTok.
And then, yeah. And then, so if I had been doing this for 14 months and I had 2,230 followers on Instagram as well as TikTok,
uh-huh.
It'd be very hard for me to wake up tomorrow and be like, keep doing this, man. You're going great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and hey, remember why you're doing it. I would try. And it is important.
Yeah.
But with that smaller following, that it's so far from that whole, like, making money and growing and trying to do more.
Yeah, that's part of your why. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Correct.
Sorry, exactly. That was a question that I was sitting on for a while.
My lack of TikTok following is like, I think I was telling you this last time.
It's almost a skill.
It's like a talking point amongst people that follow me. Like, every now and then I'll post about how poorly I'm doing on TikTok.
Yeah.
And, like, I have, like, followers that, like, I've never met before, but they're, like, people that follow me, they're nice people.
Yeah.
They'll write to me and be like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's so, what's going on over there, bro?
There's, like, something wrong. I don't know. You gotta scrap it.
Well, there was this creator that I can't remember her handle. She's just ticked over 120,000 followers on TikTok. Does this, I think she's an Australian, cooks in London, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a food account, and she makes delicious food, edits it really well.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, she's a full-time chef somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy that she's doing all this work. I posted something about my TikTok doing poorly. She wrote to me, and she's like, mine do so bad on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she's probably saying that, but it's probably, like, dwarfing mine.
Uh-huh.
And I went on hers, less of a follow.
Really?
She more than doubles my Instagram following, but on TikTok, she's, like, less than half of mine.
Interesting.
And she's getting, like, 120 followers, 20,000 followers on Instagram, getting, like, a ton of views. But on TikTok, I'm talking, like, 100 views.
She's got something wrong with her account.
Video. And, but this, you're the first one that mentioned this to me.
Yeah.
And I spoke to our buddy Joe about this because he's in that world, right? He said, did I tell you what he said to me? I said, hey, I was speaking to Tori. She was like, she thinks that she's heard of something like some
shadow
TikTok
band,
accounts being
lemons.
Shadow banned or like lemons or like glitching, and that maybe I should consider deleting it. And he said 95% of the time, because, you know, he's worked in the world of, like, being a consultant to people trying to do social media. He'd be like, 95% of, he said to me, 95% of the time, I would suggest to not do that. But you honestly have nothing to lose because you have no following. Yeah. There. And I was like, that's
you crazy. I think you got to do a new one.
They're actually doing okay now.
Okay.
I've got 2,000 followers check on TikTok.
Check you out. Yeah. Can't be stopped. I think we're running out of time on this SD card. So let's wrap it up. Any final thoughts? I feel like we said a lot of really insightful things.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned your overall goal with, you know, what you want, your message with your content and how you want people to just not be assholes and realize how grateful they should be. Okay, let's go in a year from now. Where do you want to be and what do you want to be doing with this?
I would like to be making the same stuff that I'm making,
mm-hmm.
but filtering in like collaborations with other creators in the restaurant realm,
mm-hmm.
and more so than that, chefs.
Okay.
I've got a great love and respect for chefs.
Mm-hmm.
And also just restaurants themselves. If I could find a way to work with restaurants. And then also something along the lines of helping.
Amazing.
Helping people. Whether it be through my content or through restaurant work or through collaborating with other people that have a platform that can help as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amazing. Any final words and thoughts and how people can find you online?
Human is doing. I haven't looked at the camera once.
That's fine.
Human Tabasco on Instagram and TikTok, but don't worry about that.
No, worry about it. Go follow on TikTok.
Actually, if you could follow me on TikTok, that'd be fantastic. YouTube, I have my hour there from a time when I did stand up. Maybe that'll happen again.
It will.
Yeah. And you're great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. Appreciate you. This was really fun.
Yeah.
Amazing.